Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a program dedicated to informing you about organizations that serve our community and how you can get involved with them. Here's your host, Chris Evans.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Upstate. My name is Chris Evans. Today, my guests are Stacy Flax, the Senior Strategic Communications Coordinator for REWA. Welcome, Stacy.
Thank you, Chris.
That's a mouthful.
It is. It does not fit on a business card.
you're already grinning at me like you're impressed that I said it in one try.
You did. Great job.
And we also have here Jason Gillespie, a senior project manager for Dig Greenville. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. We're going to talk about Dig Greenville. That's the main thing that I wanted to have REWA on to talk about, because I know this is a huge project for the Upstate and you guys have been making some progress on it. So we're going to talk about that in a minute, but I'm going to start with the question that I normally ask my guests right off the bat, which is, what do you do and who do you do it for? Stacy, tell us about REWA. What do you do?
Well, Chris, you may have heard REWA. You may have heard Renewable Water Resources.
Right.
It's one and the same. We treat the wastewater here in our community. We are the primary wastewater treatment provider in the Upstate area. We process and treat about 48 million gallons of wastewater per day. It's a big number.
I was going to say, that's a big number, almost so big that I don't have a context for it. Like, that's got to be hundreds of thousands of households.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Our service area covers Greenville County, parts of Lawrence, Pickens, Anderson, and a small part of Spartanburg. So we cover a very large portion of our, I call it Upstate, but it's not technically
right.
The Upstate, but our local community. Our mission is to enhance our community's quality of life by transforming wastewater into renewable resources through responsible and innovative solutions, which is exactly what we try to do on a daily basis at REWA.
Okay. And how do you do that?
Well, we have so many programs. I couldn't go over all of them today.
Fair enough.
But one of the really cool programs involves oysters. It's something fairly new that we're doing.
Okay. Tell me about the oysters.
So we are partnering with DNR to recycle more than just water. So we have a oyster shell recycling initiative where local restaurants, right now we're partnering with Shuck and Shack up off of Pelham Road.
Okay.
And they are actually taking their oyster shells, and REWA is partnered with them to them and the DNR to transport the oyster shelves to our location at 660 Malden Road,
okay,
where they are laid out to dry. And then the oysters are actually taken back to the coast and put back into the waterways for baby oysters to use them as shells. So what it does is it helps to revive the oyster population.
Gotcha. Okay. So I know a little bit about oysters, not very much, because I usually don't eat them. That's my wife likes eating oysters. My dad likes eating oysters.
Oh, I love oysters.
They're not my cup of tea. I don't begrudge other people eating them, but I generally don't get down on that. But I know that's an important thing. I've seen oysters growing in the ocean, you know, when I visited the coast. And so you really, what you're doing is kind of repopulating oyster beds with these oyster shells.
That's exactly what we're doing. And cool fact, I didn't know this until we started this initiative, but an adult oyster can filter up to 50 gallons of water a day.
Well, and that was one of the things I was going to mention, because you guys are not really in the filtering business, but you're cleaning up water.
Yes.
And oysters kind of do the same thing biologically.
That's exactly right. We have, I have to laugh because we kind of have a similar mission.
Right.
Oysters are filtering the water. We are cleaning water as well. It's just a really cool initiative, and we're hoping that it catches on and expands to more groups in the Upstate. So, like I mentioned before, we do have a drop-off location at 660 Malden Road. If you have an oyster roast, bring your oyster shells, and we'll make sure that they make their way back home to the coast.
And 660 Malden Road is where one of your facilities is located.
It is. It's where our Malden Road facility is located. So it is across from our administration building on Malden Road, right near 85.
But that's not the only wastewater processing facility that you guys have.
No, absolutely not. We have 9 facilities all throughout our service area, and we have over 300 miles of trunk lines, conveyance lines, and so it's a very complex process. And anyone that wants to take a tour of our facilities are welcome to reach out to me. You can go online, actually, to rewaonline.org and request a tour. When you're on the tour, if you come to our Malden Road facility, we can show you the oyster drop-off location as well as many other really cool technological processes that we use.
Gotcha. Now, tours, I want to spend a minute on this because that sounds interesting to me. I like taking tours. I like going and visiting things. Talk about the tour process. If somebody wants to sign up, they can go to the website, rewaonline.org, and there's a process to sign up for a tour. Can they be individual tours, or do you have to have a group, or how does it work?
So we are pretty flexible with tours. We have certain times that we do the tours. Okay. However, we give tours to school groups, homeschool. One time we had a customer that called in that just didn't quite understand the wastewater treatment process, which we were really grateful that he called in and had the questions, because we were able to offer him a tour and bring him in and show him our biological treatment process, which is unique. We actually use what I'm just going to call here bugs to treat the wastewater and take out all of the all of the contaminants.
That's interesting. Now, that would be me, by the way. I would be mm-hmm. the guy calling up and saying, "Hey, I don't really know how this process works. Can I come take a tour? Because I'm curious about everything." Just walk us through that kind of a tour. What does somebody see on a tour like that?
So when you come on a wastewater treatment facility tour, we start you out, and I'm just going to give you the basics. You're going to start out where the wastewater comes in. So when you flush, when you pour stuff down the drain, when companies, businesses, industries send stuff to us for treatment, it comes in at the headwork. So you're going to come in and you're going to see all the solids and liquids that come in. And then you're going to be walked through very diplomatically. You're going to be walked through all the steps of the treatment process, all the way to the end of our treatment process where clean water is released back into our rivers, lakes, and streams. And let me tell you, I say river, and we call the Reedy River a river.
Yes.
But it's not a huge river.
No, it's kind of a large creek.
It is a very large creek. So we have to adhere to very strict permit limitations. Okay. So the water that we put back into our local rivers, lakes, and streams is extremely clean, very close to drinking water quality.
That's interesting. Expand on that a little bit, because I imagine there's got to be some requirements regarding how many, I don't know, parts per million of stuff that you can have in there, any kind of the original, you know, contaminants that would have been in there.
That's right. I personally am not in that. I'm
Fair
not an engineer.
It's not going to be a quiz.
Jason, do you want to take this?
Sure. Yeah.
Hop in here, Jason.
Yeah. So so the treatment process we have limits set by DHEC that we have to keep our discharge to, and so the treatment process will reduce it to within those limits. And so one of those is fecal coliform is a common contaminant in wastewater. So that's a big one we test for. And so it reduces that. And in many cases, typically is cleaner than the stream water that it's going into.
And I want to make sure that people understand what it is you're talking about. DHEC, you mentioned, the South Carolina, so this is a state agency.
That's correct.
South Carolina Department of Health and Environmental Control, if I remember correctly.
That's right. Okay, yes.
So they're the ones that actually decide how clean your water has to be before it can go out of your facility and back into the environment.
That is correct. And we are, as an agency, we try to stay on top of the newest trends and be innovative about our treatment processes. I have a funny story. A couple of years ago, we had a new facility open down in Piedmont.
Okay.
And we have a really cool technology. It's called membrane bioreactor technology down there. And
that does sound fascinating.
It is
now
very
I want
fascinating.
To take a tour.
You need to come on a tour down there. But the water that passes through that facility was so clean that two of our board members took the effluent that came out of our facility and drank it.
I thought that might be
and are still alive today to tell the story.
No adverse effects. That's fantastic. That's really interesting because, I mean, we've heard stories, you know, the news has had stories over the years about the Reedy River naturally upstream of where your facility is, mm-hmm. let's put it that way, that is not particularly clean. And that's got to be just generally runoff. You know, I mean, some of it must be people dumping, you know, illegally in the river and stuff like that. But there's animals all over Greenville County. The rainwater is going to pick up anything that's on the street and wash it into the river and stuff like that.
You're right, Chris. Exactly. And there are so many other, I'm going to call it non-point sources
right.
that make their way into the waterways. And what we try to do as an agency is be as educational as possible.
Right.
We try to be as transparent as possible and let people know what we do, why we do it, and what all else is out there. I mean, if people have questions and want to come in and talk to one of our engineers or talk to one of our operators and just learn more about what we do, what does the water look like when it comes in?
Right.
And then what does it look like when it leaves?
Yeah.
It's definitely an experience, an educational experience. And we go out into the schools and go out into the community and talk about what we do because we don't just treat wastewater.
Yeah.
We have many other renewable byproducts that we produce, biosolids.
Well, and I was going to ask about that because you talked about the interesting processes that you mm-hmm. have and the products that you produce. I learned on your website, rewaonline.org, that the solids that go through this process are then turned around into fertilizer for local area farmers.
Right. They are turned into a natural organic fertilizer for local farmers. And we actually have a waiting list for farmers that everybody wants it because it does provide such rich nutrients. And I saw a picture once, and it was a field that was fertilized with just your regular fertilizer and a field that was fertilized with biosolids. And the field that was fertilized with our biosolids was green and had grown at a rate much quicker than the other. And again, we don't charge for it. It's given to the farmers just to help spread awareness that the byproducts are useful. We have very
yeah.
useful byproducts.
Well, and it's easy to not think about any of that, you know, mm-hmm. as a consumer living in your home, as somebody who is using your services for wastewater, it's easy to flush the toilet or, you know, pour water down the sink and not think about where it goes.
Out of sight, out of mind,
yeah.
you know, and even, you know, we work, this is something, our workers are 365 days a year. They're the unsung heroes of the upstate, as we
so.
Like to say, because it's the last thing you think about typically, but it's the first thing you think about if
oh,
your
yeah.
toilet's not going
it's,
to flush,
yeah,
right?
If something's broken, every once in a while, I mention the news, you know, we get a story about a sewer line is broken and now this, you know, neighborhood needs to boil their mm-hmm. water or something like that. And it doesn't happen often, but when it does happen, it's very, very noticeable.
It is.
Now, I wanted to talk about another project that you have going on, and that's part of the reason that Jason is here. Jason, the Senior Project Manager for Dig Greenville, briefly tell us and the listeners, what is Dig Greenville?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Chris. As Stacy mentioned a minute ago, we've got about over 300 miles of gravity sewers that take that wastewater from
right.
the houses and the businesses to one of our nine plants.
And again, I want to make sure people understand what you're talking about. When you say gravity sewer, you're talking about not pumped.
That's right. That's
not moved. Correct. It just uses the force of gravity to move the water through the pipes.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's right. So the Dig Greenville project is a gravity sewer pipeline, a new pipeline that will go through downtown. We've got already we have two pipelines that parallel to the Reedy River through downtown through
right.
there at Main Street, and you can see them at times through Falls Park along the Swamp Rabbit Trail. And so about 10 years ago, we initially identified a need to one day upgrade the system through there. We're running out of capacity. You see all
right.
the growth in Greenville, even
yes.
up in Traveler's Rest, up through there. And so so the time, you know, we monitored a situation, and a few years ago decided now was the time to upgrade that system. And so we're building a third pipe through downtown through the Reedy River corridor. And so this, rather than normally we would dig up a trench and,
right.
and install it 6-8 feet below ground. And but because of the park there, all the commercial areas,
the unique characteristics of the topography.
Exactly, exactly. So we decided that the tunnel option would be a better option. And what we're doing is this pipeline will be about 100 feet underground through downtown. It's about 6,000 feet long. It'll a little bit over a mile.
Okay.
So it starts on the upstream end is over near the Croc Center, near the Westfield Street off of Academy Street.
Sort of West Greenville area.
West Greenville area. Yeah.
And then not far from the Peace Center, I guess.
So the tunnel itself will go will be under Broad Street, go right by the Peace Center.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, about 100 feet underground there. It'll go right next to the Peace Center.
And I imagine that's why you didn't dig a trench.
Exactly. Yeah. So and then at the downstream end, it'll end at Cleveland Park there near the Greenville Zoo. And so what they'll do is they will dig this pipe or this tunnel starting at the zoo in Cleveland Park and drill it upstream.
Okay.
To the other end and using a tunnel boring machine that is a.
Now that sounds cool. Tell me about that.
So the tunnel boring machine is it's 11 feet in diameter, so taller than a typical room in your house, and so it's designed to cut through rock. We've got granite that's here in Greenville that's under about 6 to 10 feet below ground. Mm-hmm. It's pretty solid granite, and so. The tunnel boring machine will grind away at the rock and then it's got a conveyor system that pulls the rock out on the other end and then they take the rock out of at the end where they're drilling from and dispose of that rock and so it's just a kind of a consistent process. They'll go about 40 feet a day roughly once they get going, and so. And so the tunnel machine itself is about 270 feet long.
Wow.
So almost a football field.
Yeah, that's – now, the pipe – the tunnel, rather, that this is digging, you said is about 11 feet, but that's not the pipe size. You're going to actually get to build the pipe inside that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so once they drill the whole way through, they'll come back in and install the pipe. And the pipe itself will be 7 feet in diameter. So it'll be large enough for for our people to walk through and do maintenance and inspect it and things like that when we need
pretty
to.
Pretty big pipe.
Pretty big pipe, yeah. So it's a very big pipe. So it will fulfill our needs through that area for a very long time. And
now, I know that you guys have been making some progress on it. How long has this project been going on?
So it's the construction started about 10 months ago.
Okay.
Back in March. And what they have done so far, they have dug the shafts on either end of the tunnel. So
down to the depth.
Down to the depth, okay. That's right. And so they at one end is about 106 feet deep. At the downstream end where the Cleveland Park is, it's about 30 feet deep.
Okay.
And so they'll start there. And what they're doing right now is they're making the connections to our existing system through Cleveland, there in Cleveland Park. And they're going to be working on that in the next couple months. And then they'll start digging out the tunnel here in a few months, and the tunnel boring machine will be here later this year to begin the remainder of the project.
Now, like I said, I know that you've been making progress on this because a few months ago I took my kids to the zoo, and there was a section of the Greenville Zoo that we were not allowed to go in because you guys were going to be blasting.
Oh, okay, yes.
And that was really cool. Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting, first of all, that's part of the process is blowing stuff up. But also, it impresses upon me how much of this project is not going to interfere with kind of daily life in Greenville.
Right. That was one of the big reasons why we selected the tunneling option is our impact will be limited right there on either end, and we're trying to manage that to minimize that. But, yeah, you won't see us while we're tunneling down under Broad Street next to the Peace Center. So that was one of the impact to the public and to businesses was a big consideration, a big advantage of the route we went.
You know, the other thing that impressed me about this project that I remember from the last time you guys here talking about it, which was a while ago, admittedly, is that you guys had planned for this so much that this whole thing is paid for in advance. There's no increases in service fees or anything like that that have funded this project.
That's right. Yeah, we this is part of our ongoing capital improvements budget. We typically spend about $60 million a year for that, and so we've got numerous projects right. that we do every year, and so this is a large one for us. But it's
sure.
But yeah, it's included within our budget, and so we're able to accommodate that without any.
Well, and speaking for the public in general, I suppose, I would say that's much appreciated because it's a degree of fiscal responsibility. I know a lot of people are going to be familiar with other utility services that when they say they need to build new infrastructure, they're like, oh, well, it's time for prices to go up, and they have to get permission from the legislature to do that. And you guys have already kind of just built this into your budget. That's fantastic.
And speaking about transparency, as I mentioned earlier, we want the community to know about this project and follow us. So we have intentionally set up some different routes for them to do that. You can follow us on Facebook at Dig Greenville, or we have a monthly, it's called Sippin' with Steve.
Ooh.
And I'll tell you about that.
It sounds like fun.
It is. It's a really fun update type meeting. It's held typically monthly at Coffee Underground downtown on Thursday. So January's meeting is January 31st, 9 a.m. at Coffee Underground. And what happens here is really a conversation with Steve, who is the project manager from Black & Veatch, who's the engineering group on the project.
Okay.
Steve gives the community updates. Community can come in and ask questions about the project. Again, it's a real casual conversation type setting, and we want the community to come in and ask questions and be informed. And again, talk about the project just as we are.
Sure. And that sort of communication, I know, is important to you as mm-hmm. as the communications coordinator, strategic or otherwise. and the website, we've mentioned a couple of times already, rewaonline.org. I imagine there's more information there.
There is. And there's also a Dig Greenville website.
Okay.
So if you go to diggreenville.org, we have a website that was specifically built for this project because we knew the duration and the depth of the project. We were going to need a great communication tool and something that we could update, put additional information out there. So we had a Sippin' with Steve in December, for example. We were able to put the PowerPoint, the presentation, and you know all the updates that we gave at that meeting, we also put it out on our website. So if you visit diggreenville.org, you can learn about the project. We have a really cool infographic out there that tells you how many truckloads of rock we've taken out.
Right, how many tons
of
stone.
So take a look out there, and it gives you a lot of information, gives you updates, and it'll tell you about Sippin' with C for the next month.
So diggreenville.org for more information about the Dig Greenville project and to find out how people can get in touch with either Steve or Rewa or anybody if they need more information, if they want to get involved that way.
Yes.
And this is going to set us up for kind of a while, that growth that you were mentioning, Jason, to accommodate all of that.
That's right. Yeah. So it'll the size of the tunnel bore machine needed to grind through the granite kind of drove us to that size tunnel and size pipe. So this will be a wide spot in the road for us for a long time to through that area. So we won't have to make any upgrades through that section for a long, very long time. So.
Gotcha. And then also rewaonline.org, again, the main Rewa website, one more time, where other projects such as your Project RX prescription refund, or not refund, but turn
take
in.
Back.
Take back.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for, the prescription take back program, because those are not supposed to be flushed down the toilet and disposed of in that way.
You should not flush any prescription medication over the counter because it goes right back into our rivers, lakes, and streams. We don't want to do that.
And that is one thing that our treatment processes aren't set up to treat. So it's hard to get those chemicals out once they get into the water.
Yeah, so. I understand that. Any other projects, you can go to rewaonline.org. Again, if you want a tour, go there and sign up for a tour. Stacy Flax, Senior Strategic Communications Coordinator, and Jason Gillespie, Senior Project Manager for Dig Greenville, have been my guests today. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you so much, Chris.
It's been my pleasure. I'm Chris Evans, and this has been Focus on the Upstate.
You've been listening to Focus on the Upstate with Chris Evans. If you would like more information on today's topic, email Chris at cevans@intercom.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.